The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Thursday, July 10th, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing in Lexington, Illinois. In agricultural news, Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin says he's open to discussion on offshore oil drilling. Also, the CFTC continues to be under legislative examination for its role in the recent run-up in futures. We'll have these and other stories this half hour. And meteorologist Peter Levitt will be by with the latest on Midwest growing conditions. It's all on the Thursday edition of your Closing Market Report. Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, a broadcasting service of the College of Media at the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Thursday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. July wheat, 8.38 down 1. September, 8.48 and a half down 4. At the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat, 8.06 and a half down 7 and a half. September, 8.18 down 7 and 3 quarters. December, 8.42 and a quarter down 7. July corn, 6.75 and a quarter down 7 and 3 quarters. September, 6.86 and a half down 8 and a quarter. December, 7.04 and a quarter down 8 and a half. March of 2009, 7.21 and a quarter down 8 and a half. July beans, 16.09 and a half up 31 and a half. August, $16 and a half up 28 and a half. September, 15.93 up 28 and a quarter. November, 15.87 up 30. July soybean meal, 445.80 up 10.30. July soybean oil, 64.45 up 67. August live cattle, 102.05 down 50. August feeders, 112.65 down 25. July lean hogs at 73.95 were up 127 and a half. And July bellies, 65.85 up 170. And those are today's settlements in Chicago and Kansas City. Let's look at the outside markets for you. August crude oil, 137.40 is up 135. September, 137.60 up 88. The August ethanol contract at 271.7 was down 1.1 today. August RBOB, 349.15 is up 11.07. Silver contract, the settlement there in the September at 1832, up 14.5 cents. While the September gold contract didn't trade, the August at 842, up $13.40. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,105 is off 42 points. The U.S. dollar, 72.52, off almost 6 cents. The CRB, 453.41, is up 379. While the S&P 500 is at 1238.43, down 6.25 points. Taking a look at Mike Solis' two-state forecast tonight, he says in northern Illinois, partly cloudy with a few evening showers, elsewhere mostly clear, and lows ranging from 62 in northeast Indiana to 70 in western Illinois. Then on Friday, partly to mostly sunny, a chance of a few scattered showers and thunderstorms developing in southern Illinois and extreme southern Indiana, and highs between 88 and 94 degrees. The extended outlook, widespread rainfall will begin Friday night and continue through Sunday evening, and dry and mild conditions will settle into the area for the first half of next week before heat and higher humidity surges back. Joining us now with a look at the futures market is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon, Dan.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, we had a new low for the week in the corn market before it edged up slightly above that mark. What do you make of it?
Well, I think it's still, you know, stinging from the acreage report, and of course we've had generally favorable growing conditions, crop conditions. At least the crop does look like it's growing some, so that's kind of weighing on the market. Tomorrow, USDA is going to reflect those June 30th numbers on the supply-demand balance sheet. Both the acreage numbers as well as the stocks report. So I think that, you know, the trade is pretty well a little reason to buy it in front of that report, thinking that USDA would probably raise current year-ending stocks 100 million or so, and of course, then that would probably follow on through through the next year's ending stocks numbers. So I think the trade is just kind of in a liquidation type mode, waiting to see what tomorrow's numbers show. And I think once you see tomorrow's numbers, it'll be kind of like, you know, let's buy the news, because we're selling the rumor going into the report. We'll probably buy the news tomorrow.
Yeah. Kind of wonder if there is any more bearish tone to be gotten out of this report. What kind of numbers would put enough giddy up in traders to consider going under $7?
Well, it depends on how aggressive USDA wants to cut demand. There's a lot of talk that they could get aggressive and, you know, kind of hit the numbers kind of hard. I question that they're going to hit them that hard on this report. I don't think they need to. You know, they got their acreage numbers that they were looking for, or at least they got the higher end range. But I suppose if you if they went in there and whacked the ethanol demand quite a bit, took off some of the exports for next year, begin to start talking about a billion something or more carry out for next year, then maybe that might be a little bearish. But right now we're basically in a supply-driven market. It's the relaxation of a very tense June that worried the trade to death about getting the crop planted, what kind of acre levels we're going to have, what kind of yield prospects. Right now we're basically, you know, on the downside of that, feeling somewhat relaxed that we at least have a crop coming. Now we can, the trade can argue whether it's 11 billion, 12 billion, or 13 billion, and that probably is going to depend a lot what the weather is over the next 6 to 8 weeks.
And would you anticipate that USDA won't do much arguing at all tomorrow and keep their yield about where it is?
I don't see any reason why they would change it, because they're only 2 weeks away from going out into the field and actually doing some survey work. Now that doesn't mean that they won't change it, but I see little reason why they would want to change it at this point. Just leave it where it's at. You know, in another 2-3 weeks, they're going to have a better idea of what the yield is. And I think, you know, talking to seed people throughout the Corn Belt, they feel pretty good about the corn crop. We do have fairly high population levels in most areas. I think Illinois is not really up that much from the information that I've seen. But, you know, keep in mind that August is a population projection. And we may have USDA may end up raising the yield on the August report, and I don't think they would, you know, mess around with it tomorrow anyway.
In the soybeans, we saw a significant follow-through today off of Tuesday's spike low and Wednesday's essentially inside day, beans finishing, relatively speaking, at the top of its range. What do you make of this?
Price action is very strong. I think, and again, that is kind of a reflection of what tomorrow's report's going to say, based upon the acreage and the June stocks number. That's just the complete opposite. The trade is looking for some fairly tight lower-end type carry-in levels or ending stocks levels, and that's generally supportive. Also, the Argentina strike seems to be back on, so beans got some support from that. And there is still demand for U.S. bean inventory, and the general concern that things are just plain tight is supporting the beans. And crop conditions, while they've been generally favorable, the bean crop as a whole does not look as good as the corn crop right now, and I think that's being reflected in today's price strength.
New contract highs about 50 cents away in the November bean contract. Any chance we see that before the closing bell tomorrow?
I don't think we'll see well, anything can happen, but I don't see the report being any kind of supply shocker that would push the market right on up into new highs tomorrow. Now, with that said, outside market activity combined with, a bullish crop report and maybe a switch to a hotter, drier weather pattern or something else, I think it would take a couple other factors to mix in with that to push it on up through the high. But I do think the market is in excellent shape to go on up through that high point. At least looking at some of the outside markets here at the end of the day, you've got the dollar weak back down underneath that trend line that we've been trying to form here for the past several weeks. You've got crude oil prices up $5 here going into the close. So you do have outside market activity that could be very supportive to the grain complex tomorrow morning if USDA doesn't throw the trade any real bearish curveballs.
What do you think about the action in the wheat?
Generally, I think the wheat action's okay. I think wheat put in a seasonal low here several weeks ago. Now we're back kind of testing that out. And I think it won't be long that wheat will resume the uptrend. And I don't think it's going to be full of a lot of zip to the upside, but I do think a sideways to higher trend is developing in the wheat complex and going to be generally supportive as we go on and finishes up the summer and on into the fall.
Do you think that that wheat prices are headed above $9 again?
Oh yeah, I don't see why wheat could not can't go back above $9. We haven't. You got to keep in mind overall supply demand inventory levels of any kind of commodity is very tight, and weather problems any place in the world is going to stir up the wheat market again. And all we're doing here in the wheat market is acknowledging the fact that we got a wheat harvest and we got a good crop, and once that has been put away, then I think the market will begin to recover out of a seasonal low. I think the outside market activity, I think higher energy prices, weaker dollar, is just going to continue to provide underlying support to commodity markets. I just, I'm just a big inflation bull. I just don't see, anything but continued weakness in the dollar, and I think it could get sharply lower before the year's out.
Thank you much, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Learned Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In agricultural news, Illinois Senator Richard Durbin says he is now open to discussions about oil drilling in areas off the U.S. coastline. Durbin, the Senate Majority Whip, says he also wants to entertain talks about what he calls, quote, responsible production. Durbin says that Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid may support, quote, a modest expansion of offshore oil production. The House Agriculture Subcommittee is holding the second in a series of three hearings today on legislation impacting the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee Chair Rosa DeLauro says she believes the CFTC has fallen down on its regulatory job. And she says she plans on asking tough questions of CFTC Acting Chair Walt Lucan. Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Jeff Bingaman says speculation needs to be addressed.
In the past, we have not regulated oil futures trading to the extent that we regulate the trading of futures in other commodities. And that's one of the issues that Congress is trying to determine, whether we're going to have to pass legislation to require the Commodity Futures Trading Commission to put limits on the amount of trading, particularly trading by those who are not in that business. That's something that I think there's great concern about. Most experts have told us that some of the cost of gasoline that we're seeing, some of the cost of oil that we're seeing, is explainable by speculation in those markets. There seems to be a lot of disagreement as to how much of it. But most people seem to think some of it is a result of that speculation.
Lawmakers are considering a proposal that would push margin requirements to 25% of contract price in an effort to drive out speculators. Margins have traditionally ranged from 5 to 8% for commodities. South Korea's new parliament today voted to launch a probe into governmental negotiations with the U.S. on resumption of U.S. beef imports. South Korean lawmakers say the deal is flawed and could expose the country to mad cow disease. A special committee will lead the probe until August 20th, but that day can be extended. USDA says the number of hungry people in the world increased by 122 million in 2007 to a total of 892 million. That's the biggest jump since the agency began keeping numbers 16 years ago. USDA projects that the number of hungry people will climb to 1.2 million by 2017. 15 conservation groups sent a letter to USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer urging him to reject penalty-free early release of CRP land. The environmental groups said in the letter that releasing land penalty-free into crop production would, quote, result in a loss of billions of dollars of taxpayer investment in conservation on these lands. The Seattle U.S. District Judge has scheduled a July 17th hearing on whether to issue a preliminary injunction on the issue. USDA Press Secretary Keith Williams.
The primary purpose just preserves the status quo until the judge can weigh the issues through some more information, which will be provided at a hearing coming up Thursday, July 17th in Seattle. But the injunction that he has will remain in place until then. And what it does is it requires, and which we've done now, USDA will stop the processing or approving any additional contract modifications to that particular order that we did, and inform all the CRP participants who have received the contract modifications that we might have processed in this time to let them know that we can't go through it just yet until we get a final decision from the judge.
The program, launched May 27th, allows hang and grazing on CRP land after the wildfowl nesting season is over, provided landowners receive permission from USDA. French President Nicolas Sarkozy today told the European Parliament that conditions are not right for a world free trade deal. WTO Chief Pascal Lamy has called a meeting for January 21st of trade ministers from the main WTO nations to try to broker a new global pact. Asian soybean rust has been confirmed in Brooks County, Georgia, the first in the state in the 2008 growing season. Since the beginning of the growing season, rust has also been reported in one county in Alabama, 11 counties in Florida, 3 counties in Louisiana, 1 county in Mississippi, and 3 counties in Texas. And China's cabinet has approved in principle a program to develop genetically modified crops that are pest resistant and high yielding. The statement on the government's website did not specify what kinds of crops should be developed. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
USDA releases its July crop production and WASDE reports tomorrow. You can get the key numbers right in your email box. Simply go to WILLAG.org and click on the subscribe to our newsletter link in the right navigation box. Never miss a key report again. While you're there, you can also sign up for podcasts of all of our market analysis. WILLAG.org, your agricultural web advantage. Joining us now with our look at the cash grain analysis is Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing in Lexington, Illinois. Good afternoon, Bill.
Good afternoon, Dave.
We were on the phone before visiting, and you said you had done some research looking at bases this year compared with prior years. What did you find?
Yeah, I was just kind of looking at the average bases over the last few years here, last 3 years. And I guess what you'd really expect, the corn bases is still well below what the average would have been over the last 3 years, 25 cents or so below the 3 years prior average. And beans are almost right up there on that. And, of course, if you look at, you know, the stock situation that they're going to come out with on the report tomorrow, with probably somewhere around $1.5 billion corn and 123 million beans, I mean, that probably is the way it should be. The bean situation is a lot tighter than the corn.
There's been a raging debate among our analysts, not so much on the futures side, but on the basis side, and what the expectations of those analysts are heading into the fall harvest. Where are you?
Well, I would say that we're probably going to be, I guess I'd be bearish near term and probably bullish longer term. I think we probably need to get through the harvest period here before we see any kind of return to good basis levels again. But I think as we go through the winter next year with probably less stress on our storage capacity, we could see the basis improve quite a bit.
How bullish do you want to be longer term? Some of our analysts are suggesting we may see a plus basis.
I don't know that we'll get back to averaged. You know, if you go back and take what the average was 5 years, 6 years ago, I don't know that we're going to get back to those levels until we see the cost of transportation and the cost of handling grain at higher prices is more expensive than lower prices. Those two things have to change before we go back to basis levels that we saw, you know, back 5-6 years ago.
What about your prices today, sir?
Corn, cash is $6.31. Fall is $6.42. Beans, $15.75. New crop, $15.02.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thanks, Dave.
Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing. He is in Lexington, Illinois. Remember, you can subscribe to all of our podcasts on agriculture. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the podcast link in the right navigation window. That's WILLAG.org. It's National Pina Colada Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1720, Mrs. Clements invented a method of preparing mustard flour or powder, which was known for a long time as Durham mustard. Up until then, mustard was made into balls with honey and or vinegar and then mixed with more vinegar when needed. Mrs. Clements extracted the full flavor of mustard seed by grinding it in a mill and then using similar processes used to making wheat flour. In 1930, the highest temperature ever recorded in the U.S. was in Death Valley, California, 134 degrees Fahrenheit. In 1920, Edward H. Lowell was born. He invented a new kitty litter in 1947. Before then, ashes were often used, but left sooty cat prints all over the house. Lowe filled 10 brown bags with absorbent clay called Fuller's Earth and labeled the bags kitty litter. The rest is history. 7 decades later, his company was the largest U.S. producer of cat box filler. In 1989, Mel Blanc died. Blanc was the man of 1,000 voices, including Bugs Bunny, Tweety Bird, Porky Pig, Daffy Duck, and Sylvester the Cat. By the way, Blanc was allergic to carrots. What's up, Doc? And in 1999, Aaron Bunny Lappin died. Lappin was the inventor of whipped cream in an aerosol can. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Peter Levitt. Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Conditions expected to be pretty much ideal across the Corn Belt the next couple of weeks?
I think so. I mean, people look at this time of year, you know, drought is always in the back of their minds, and boy, there's none of that anywhere in the extended forecast. We're in a pattern of temperatures averaging near to somewhat below normal, and with the cooler air in here and warmer, moister air keeping trying to get up in there from the south, that generates adequate precipitation, if not a little excessive in places. So with adequate precipitation and moderate temperatures, that's generally ideal. I think the only concern that some farmers may have is how far behind some of the crop is. The corn silking, for example, is way behind schedule this year, and so the concern will manifest itself if it stays cool into August and then we start looking at early frost. But boy, that's several weeks away, and we've got nothing but better agriculture weather to look at.
Net drying down in the Delta?
Yeah, although the next system coming along, we're going to get the showers going by to the north today. I don't think they'll dip very far south into Illinois. They're just north in Illinois. But late tomorrow and tomorrow night into Saturday, a cold front comes through, and there's a pretty impressive low-pressure system up in Canada driving this front, and there's a lot of moisture ahead. It looks like the front's going to come through the state on Saturday with some showers and maybe some severe thunderstorms, so I would look out for that on Saturday afternoon because of the timing of this front. But the question that you asked initially is that front will stall over the south and southeast, so I think the Delta starts to see a little bit more rain than they'd like to see out of this.
What about in world conditions? What are you keeping an eye on?
Boy, world conditions, I looked around today, and it's hard to find fault almost anywhere. Abundant moisture, that seems to be the key for most of the northern hemisphere and most of the agricultural areas, and moderate temperatures, no severe heat. So we're looking at pretty good weather in the north, and winter crops down in the southern hemisphere. Australian wheat could use a little more rain, but you could say that once a week down in there. The only trouble spot I see, and you have to stretch a little, is the Argentine, where it's been a little too dry for winter wheat to get established and going. And I think if you have to go to Argentina to find a tough spot, things must be pretty good.
Just a few seconds left. A quick question. Will the winter wheat harvest pick up in the panhandle?
I don't think it has an alternative, Dave. Yes, it will. We're not looking at much additional weather out there this week. Most of the action, I think, will be east of there. It'll be warmer and drier, and they should get that going.
Thank you much, Peter.
My pleasure.
agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt. And that's today's Closing Market Report. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at USDA's crop production and WASDE reports. And remember, you can click on our website 24/7 at willag.org for all our market analysis. This is Dave Dickey.